All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Fans of Power podcast, where we talk about everything from He-Man, She-Ra, and everything in between, including PowerCon that was just this weekend, and I just got off the plane. I'm here. I'm Brian Ozone, and I'm here with my guys always, Tyler Baker and Joe Amato, and our producer Dirt. And let's get this show going, man. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. Hopefully okay with you. What about you, T-Rex?
I'm on top of the world right now. I'm ready to dig into some serious, you know, master's conversation, to hear Brian's memoirs.
Yep.
Very good.
Well, definitely. Well, Brian, you brought up PowerCon. This is Monday, obviously, so it's after all the aftermath and everything. So, what were your impressions like when you first got there? You know, from before the panels and everything. Just what was it like? Because I know you wanted to go first to try to find things to buy and purchase.
First impressions was great. I mean, you know, the atmosphere was great. Guys were great. Everything was cool. The loyal subjects were a no show, which was a disappointment. That really got everybody a little mad because they didn't show up. Then they Mattel showed these two twins that came and pretty much showed off the She-Ra, talked about the new She-Ra figure for SDCC.
And didn't they show a lot of old prototypes of stuff that was never made?
They showed the Tolstar prototypes, and actually they said they had a few of them, and they brought the best ones with them to PowerCon.
Okay.
They were pretty cool, actually.
All right. Oh, you got to see them in person, the prototype figure?
Yeah, they had them on display. They were pretty cool. Unfortunately, I didn't take a picture of them because I was running around, you know, talking with a lot of fans, man. I'm really happy. A lot of fans recognized my voice. Came up to me and they said we're doing a great job and they love the show, which was great. It was great to hear the feedback. And, you know, I told them to message us. Friend request all of us so you know we can talk in more in depth because of the chaos of it all. But
that must have been fun.
It was
to
a
me.
Good show.
I mean, not only fans of the show, but just you know fans of Masters in general, all the cosplayers, all the people that love that we love. That had to be cool.
Yeah, no, it was a good show. I mean, in my opinion, the past shows were better. They had more voice actors and whatnot. I mean, Brian Dobson was there. He was Skeletor of 2000X. Alan Oppenheimer was there. Melanie Britt was there. I forgot the guy's name, but the guy who did Orko for the 2000X, he was there as well. There was a lot more, I would say, vintage toys to be sold this time, not like past. In the past, it was more classics, so it was pretty cool.
So you got
cool.
Some goodies then? You bought some things?
Oh, dude, yeah, I got some really cool stuff, man. I got the Wind Raider TV lounge on blow-up thing.
That's pretty
in
cool.
The box.
I got that. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, in the box. That's cool.
Yeah, I finally got that. Then I got the blow-up shield and sword. The shield was busted, which didn't make a difference because I already had the shield in perfect working condition. So I was happy that I was able to get the box and the shield, the sword. So I have a complete set of that now. Mm-hmm. And I finally got the NA Skeletor He-Man 2-pack. It's in pretty rough shape, but I finally got it, so I'm happy with that. You know. And then of course I got the Super 7 muscle slime bucket thing, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
Everybody who attended was able to get one. It was $25, so it wasn't bad. Okay. I mean, all in all, it was a pretty decent show. I mean, I think we got like 6 or 7 art cards as well from various artists. It was a decent show. I just think the prior shows were better. Just the panels were better in the past. But, you know, all in all, it was a good show. But I have a feeling that this was pretty much the last one. I don't think going forward there's going to be another one.
Well, you don't think there's going to be another PowerCon, or you just
yeah,
don't?
I don't think there's going to be another one.
But it looked like there was a pretty good turnout, right? There was a lot of people there, weren't there, and stuff, or what? Did it seem as big as before, or what? Because I've never been to one.
It didn't seem as big as before. It seemed like there was a lot less people than last time. But I mean, it was a decent turnout. You know, they had a lot of artists. You know, Artist Alley they had. Again, Loyal Subjects didn't show up, which was a downer. I really would love to hear what they had to say. Super 7 has great stuff coming out for San Diego Comic-Con. They have the next wave of figures coming out, which is the Sorceress. It's the Sorceress, I believe Tila, Triclops, and man, what the heck is his name? Trapjaw. I asked the question. Sorceress is going to come with like a cape, like Darth Vader.
Wait a second. Did they show pictures of them, or they just described who was coming?
Yeah, I have pictures. I put it up. I posted it on Facebook.
How did I miss this? I mean, I heard about other stuff like. I didn't see
it. It's on my page. If you go on my page, it's on there. They showed just the prototypes. I think they're just blue. So
no kidding. Oh God. You know, because I mean, I love that we're getting the Sorceress, but I'm shocked we're getting her that quickly. I figured they would have gave us Tila, Triclops, Trapjaw, and you know, I don't know, maybe I don't know, somebody a Strat. I mean, well, who the hell did we get? We get Stratos yet or no?
No, we didn't get
or him. But I mean, to get the Sorceress that early is pretty awesome. That's pretty good news.
Yeah. Also, they have. I think they said that they have 20 more of the I believe they showed like Castle Grayskull and a few others, and by the time I got my phone out they already switched the thing.
Okay, wait, hold up, because again I missed all this stuff that you're talking about. You said Castle Grayskull. What do you mean Super 7 is making a Castle Grayskull?
No, like the little muscle figure guy, like a little muscle guy. They're not making like a full size, you know, just like the little the
you
little
mean Grayskull man.
No, it's just Castle Grayskull, like a little, you know, like how they made them back in the day, like they made the ones in Italy or whatever.
Oh, those super small, just like little PVC things.
Yes.
Oh, okay. You kind of freaked me out for a second. I was like, what am I missing? Oh. I was like, is it the new line to collect? Super 7's gonna have all the awesome figures and play sets and vehicles.
They said it's a possibility.
And we have lost Brian.
We lost just.
I was wondering if that was me.
Yeah, I heard it too. Just when it was getting interesting because I was ready to say, okay, Tyler, I know you might want to ask him about some artists that are there because I know Axel, he made it, and I was hoping he got to talk with Axel or something too. But
yeah, that's what I'm anxious to ask because it was cool to finally see that Axel was part of a panel and
yeah.
But the videos that were taken of it were not that clear, so it was. It was bittersweet because I could barely hear what anybody was saying, but it was just cool to see, you know, the Mystery Man Axel out in the open talking about his work and everything. So
exactly.
I hope Brian comes back soon so I can grill him about that. And I'm also curious to hear more.
I'm here. Hello?
There he is.
I'm here. Yeah. So
okay, Tyler will have some. Yeah, Tyler's going to have some questions for you, and hopefully my thing doesn't cut out here, too, because a storm has just started like crazy. I can hear it in the background. But go ahead, Tyler. You were going to ask him some stuff.
All right. I got it here. Did you talk to my buddy Axel?
No, he was he was on the panel with Scott and the whole people. And I was really shocked that guy even showed his face there, but he was there talking about the mini comics that he did.
What? But did you say you didn't get to talk to Axel though?
No, I didn't speak to Axel. No.
Oh man, rats!
What's his name? I didn't see him between going to all the panels and dinner and lunch and everything else. Every time I went to look for him, he wasn't at his table, so he must have been doing other things as well. So No, it was just awesome
that he popped up, you know, and finally was, like you said, at a panel. And even though a lot of the videos that are out there had a grainy looking video where it was cutting out, it was just cool to see him pop up, you know, because, you know, Axel usually doesn't make many appearances. So I'm glad to see him get that kind of exposure.
Yeah, I think it was like Scott Nylick, Popman, and Alex Jimenez. And they were talking about the new mini comics that they did for Mattel.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't get to find out much of what was happening. Almost all my connections were, it seemed like there were broken things. But no, I mean, it looked like there was a lot of pretty interesting, you know, panels. I mean, first, like you said, they showed the stuff with the Pop. They were showing a lot of prototypes. I thought they showed a lot of prototypes on play sets for Pop for the 80s, you know, back in the vintage line, which would have been cool.
No, the only prototypes they showed was the Star Sisters and Glory Bird. That was
on the video, though. Didn't they show, like, some playsets that were never made? They were showing like a video of it.
Oh yes. They did show a few. Yeah, right.
And a lot of different names of characters that we and a lot of different characters that we didn't get, a lot of different names, and some people that maybe just were gonna be something else, but then maybe became Bubble Power She-Ra or something. I don't know. They had a lot of stuff and I wish the videos would have been better because I didn't really get the gist of what everything was being said. So hopefully some more of that will be.
They were showing a lot of different stuff. Yeah. I actually think I might have fell asleep during that panel, actually. They did show quite a bunch of different stuff. And I mean, like, I don't know. I just the past PowerCons to me were just better. I don't know. For some reason, they were just done better, better guests and stuff like that, but this one was
your thoughts of possible doom and gloom, because I know you're having some thoughts there. But before we get to, I wanted to cover one more thing that I was seeing that looked interesting. A couple more things. First, Dark Horse, they're going to be putting out like an encyclopedia of masters, like encompassing characters' backgrounds from as many origins as possible, correct?
Right,
from the
UK.
Now that's gonna be another awesome book coming out, I think, in May of 2017. So you guys, you know, if you're out there, go to Amazon.com. You can pre-order that. That's gonna be another amazing book. And then I think they were
pre-order already?
I thought it was already up for pre-order. I thought some people said, like, when a thread was shown on a couple places on Facebook, people were saying, okay, pre-order done. So I was like, well, I guess they must have pre-ordered. I didn't get to see a link, but I'm assuming it has to be. But we can always do some digging. And then the last thing was they were showing a lot of Errol McCarthy art, which was pretty awesome.
Yes. Yes, they showed a lot of Errol McCarthy. I mean, they showed a lot of the Strobel line. They showed a lot. I mean, a lot of it we've seen already, but a lot of it is pretty cool to see again. You know,
Because if I ever make vintage customs, because I had a couple people requesting things, I almost want that be – it's like an amalgamation line, because there was things where you seen Whiplash's head on Rattlore's body with Trapjaw's arm. I mean, this thing was bananas. Yeah. I don't know what it
was. It was like a kit bash of a whole bunch of different figures in one. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It kind of felt like a Where's the Tea stuff. But Tyler, did you see that crazy stuff?
That was the first thing I saw when I saw those pictures.
Oh, you thought of Forza T2?
I clicked on, I thought, what the hell is this? Because what really caught my eye was like, hey, it's Ninjor.
Uh-huh.
You know, then I see, you know, that crazy amalgam of, you know, I can't even imagine what faction that character was going to be a part of. But another one that caught my eye was there was like a lizard-like character fighting Ninjor inside the dungeon area that was used for Blade's card background.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. They reused background too. And like, who's this little lizard character fighting Ninja? Or I guess it was. It looks like we got some more Joe's custom characters, and Axel come up with more artwork and redesigning characters that were, you know, never obviously were, I guess, intended at some point to see the light of day. It was cool to see the Titus. Looks like what kind of Titus like back box art. It's got like, Megator standing there with like King Hiss, you know, uncovered, you know, revealing his snakes, kind of walking side by side with Megator.
Didn't they show Titus? Did Titus too, didn't he?
I thought Titus was there too, yeah.
Man, you know what's weird is it looked like it would have been. Now, here's the thing. I could picture, because you know how it would happen, if that line would have came down, you know, possibly, and fans didn't collect it. And years now, people we talk about, you know, that's one of the worst lines ever. All they did was throw together junk from other figures to make this. But then when we see stuff like this, it's like, damn, that would have been cool to have. I mean, you know, again, we're just kids. Yeah. You would have loved that stuff. And I can just picture them now going into the stores and seeing them on card backs and just having these figures with the weirdest combination of stuff. I mean, heck, that's how it was anyways back in the 80s. You get a figure, you don't look at Stinkor and realize, oh, Stinkor is Merman with Mechanex armor.
It was just, we didn't know that as kids, though. At least I certainly did.
Right, you didn't.
No, I didn't either. I thought it was a completely new figure.
Exactly. Same thing, even with Boss Man. It took a while till I realized. I remember the thing is, you know, I always put my figures up on shelves, even when I was a kid. And I remember one day when I was just looking at them on the wall, I looked at Boss Man, and I was like, wait a second. I was like, wait, is that Beast Man? I mean, I felt like a moron because you figured that's the easiest one to know. But, you know, you're a kid, you just don't think. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Beast Man. So, we would have accepted it. So that was cool to see. So, I mean, there was a lot of good stuff, a lot of cool cosplaying from kids to adults doing stuff. You love seeing kids, a new generation doing this. But I noticed a lot of people were asking because, like, I didn't know what was going to be going on. You know, like, I, you know, suspected they were going to start talking about some classic stuff or whatever. And I never seen a video of it. And I seen a lot of people upset. And I guess that's where I can go to you now, Brian. I mean, what was the mood for that, for people expecting classics and not seeing it? What did they say?
They didn't bring up classics at all. They didn't bring up any SDCC exclusives. The only thing I heard, it's a rumor that they're supposedly making a Thundercats. They're making Wily Cat and Wily Kit, cool. And a Snarf free pack for Thundercats. But they have no plans as of now, and probably not going to because it's too close. Anything to do with Masters Universe Classics at all for San Diego Comic-Con, except for that She-Ra doll. That's about it.
Okay, well, I guess that's my other question is, I thought that something came up where somebody did ask about Snake Mountain, and they say that if they made it, if it was made, it would be even smaller than, you know, expected or something?
Well,
was that something?
They already had plans to shorten it down from the original thing that they showed last year.
Yeah, I mean, I thought
But supposedly, the one that they had broke, I read, and they have no desire to fix it, make it better, or bring it back to life. So, supposedly, it's a done deal. But, again, it's a rumor, but, you know, who knows if it's true or not. But it's supposedly we're not getting it now.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, we can only hope that possibly, maybe we'd get it. But, I mean, the other thing was, people were asking, you know, hey, you have any news on the classics figures? And what do they say? Just wait till San Diego Comic-Con to find out? Is that what they said?
No. I mean, there was nothing even said about it. I mean, they completely not even brought it up. So that's why I'm saying I don't even think we're getting anything. And the only rumor going around was that we're getting the Wily Kit and Wily Cat and Snarf 3-pack for the Thundercats. Other than that, it's that She-Ra doll. That's it. That's the only stuff we're getting from Masters. Other than that, we're not getting anything else. Unless they have something up their sleeve that they're keeping under wraps and they're not telling anybody. But other than that, you know, I wouldn't get your hopes up because I doubt we're getting anything. Because something should have or would have been said, but again, Mattel wasn't at Maddie, except for the two twins that did the She-Ra doll.
It's still going because we, given what we got this past year, it was only a few figures. It wasn't like a full 12 figures plus exclusives and quarterly figures, because if they revealed anything, I mean that was part of my argument I have with myself, because I'm like, chances are we're not going to see anything because they don't reveal a whole lot. And I think after last year, it was just a few figures because the line is not going to be as extensive as it used to be.
Yeah,
figure every other month.
Yeah, so they're definitely cutting it down.
Yeah, because that way at San Diego, there's not they want to be able to have like you know at least six full reveals because I'm sure a figure every other month, and not to mention that since Filmation took off, I'm sure we'll continue to keep getting Filmation. So that's why I feel like if even if Mattel wasn't even there, other than the two gentlemen who were there to talk about Shira, I'm like, then I until San Diego comes and goes and they don't all they want to do is promote you know Monster High or something like that, I'm like okay, then we're in trouble. But I think until that time, I'm like.
Well, we are getting Monster High. We are getting. They did say that there are Monster High stuff coming. So they would people
Monster High, were what, into, what are you talking about? Monster High for He-Man? Or what do you mean?
No, Monster High figures. So
oh, thank God, people, I can sleep tonight.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say what? I was like, I don't collect Monster High. Nothing against the people.
Yeah,
that do.
Yeah, no.
Like,
so people like, who huh? do, they're getting them, and you know they'll get their wish with that. But other than that, like I said. They completely avoided the question about classic figures.
Well, I guess all we could say is, you know, keep our fingers crossed that maybe there's something good that would be coming at San Diego Comic Con. I mean,
oh, we'll be getting Stridor, I'm sure. Stridor will be revealed, I have a feeling.
Sure.
Yeah, well, Stridor will be seen. I think he's coming later on. In, I think he's coming in October, I believe.
No, that's Night Stalker.
Oh, Night Stalker, correct, right.
I'm saying Stridor.
Right. Hey, put Night Stalker, we get Stridor. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's yeah. what I feel like. You know, yeah. They'll say what few figures are going to be done for 2017 and just reveal right. it all at San Diego and probably like a Filmation figure here or there too. So, I still feel like they're just because we're not getting a whole lot each year, it's just going to be let's just save it all for the big tentpole event since, you know, this one was not going to be as, I guess, we don't have as many figures to go into each year.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that just, you know, rapidly lowering, you know, the figures per year for some reason. I don't know
it's
why.
Like the mood,
I mean, it's,
you know, Brian,
it's a moneymaker.
Was the mood killed pretty much, Brian? Do you think? I mean, after not hearing about classics, did it seem like, you know, people there were a little down in the dumps or do they still hopefully at least
enjoy? Oh, of course, but, because that's what you're there for. You're there for, you know, anything. You know, you're there to, I mean, even though it's because usually it's in September, PowerCon, so it's after San Diego, so, you know, you're going to get at least a reveal or two or a weapon or something. But, I mean, we didn't get anything, not one thing at all. Mattel wasn't there. Except for the She-Ra guys, and they didn't show anything off. So it was a little dreary. It was a little, you know, it was really bad. I mean, when you're used to seeing, you know, something here or there, and we got nothing. So it was kind of a bad vibe.
Well, like I said, let's hope for the best when San Diego Comic Con, you know, comes. That maybe something nice will happen.
Well, but, we're gonna have a lot. Like Super 7 has a lot. They're gonna have a lot to do with it. And
you know, I like
well,
stuff like that. I like things like that. Meaning, you know, I brought this question up almost every time for every line. Like when the 2000X line ended, and the Stactions were coming. You know, I asked people and they said, I'm not collecting Stactions. I was only wanting, you know, 2000X. I don't have room for Stactions. And of course, when Stactions came out, they bought them and loved them. Yeah. When those were ending and they announced, you know, what inevitably or, you know, eventually became the Classics line, people said, I'm not collecting right. Classics. I only wanted this. I'm not doing it. And they come out, they love it. So my question is, let's say hypothetically, Classics does end. And in a year or two, a new line comes. I mean, obviously, you're going to be wanting to collect it or, you know, that's, I mean, it's easy to say no because every fan says no until they come because it's just like Super 7.
Yeah, no, I mean,
see those
they're
going to
collect it. The people definitely collect it. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Right, when there's nothing else to have. I mean, of course, you know.
Exactly.
Make room. Everybody always makes room and switches around, but. Well, were there any highlights, you know, beyond, you know, like you said, some of the people and artists, were there any cool fans that you met? Like you said, you met a lot of fans that, you know, listened to the show and just fans in general.
Yeah. I mean, I met a lot of guys. I mean, I really wish I could remember all the names.
You did meet the guy online that he calls himself Walt Hancock, if I'm not mistaken. Did you?
Yeah.
Meet him? He was wearing that Battlecat shirt.
Another guy, Jonathan. I met a bunch of guys, you know, and it's surprising. Like, they were like,
you're Brian, right? I'm like, yeah, I recognize your voice. I was like, oh, shit, you know, so we talked, and, you know, we had fun, and, you know, like I told him, I said, friend request me and everything, we could talk more whenever, you know, I always make time for the fans and stuff like that, request the other guys, and they'll make time for you, too. So, I mean, it was really cool. It was fun. It's just, someone like me, it's just very hard to get used to the time difference, so I kind of went to bed early every night to get used, you know, just to, get used to the time difference and stuff like that. So I didn't do a lot of partying at night and go to a lot of the different parties and stuff like that. But I, you know, I came, I went, I went to the panels, I got my toys, I did some mingling, I hung out with my friends, and, you know, we did our dinner dates and stuff like that. And, you know, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It's just, you know, it was just disappointing that there wasn't anything shown, and I wish there was more to be shown, and, you know, give a little hope for the future. And there really wasn't much, you know. So
it kind of. Before we cut to commercial break, I mean, if you were to rate from 1 lowest, 10 highest, what was your experience of PowerCon this year from 1 to 10, would you say?
It was a 7. It was fun.
7. Good. All right. Yeah. Because it looks like it was still pretty fun. So.
Yeah, no, it was still a great time, you know. It was always great, you know. You see everybody, you hang out, everybody interact, you know. It was a good time, you know. It definitely was.
Okay, good. All right, well, that was your experience of PowerCon. So, do you want to go to a commercial break? When we come back, we'll maybe do a little character discussion.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to commercial break. We'll be back in a few minutes, guys.
You're listening to a podcast from PopCultureNetwork.com.
All right, everybody, back, and we're here to talk about Module Lock, and we're going to let our own T-Rex start it off. So, Tyler, let's see what you got to say. Go for it, brother.
Module Lock. Yeah, just to reference the toy commercial there.
By the way,
that is one of the best action figure commercials of the entire He-Man line, not to mention, like, other toys in general. It just had, like, this cool, like, rock music playing during it, and the cool narration, and like the two kids are like, oh man, he's like, oh, evil, he's an evil lord all by himself, you know. Just such a badass character. Me personally, Module Lock is my favorite horseman, I mean, above everybody else.
Cool. I like the one-headed Module Lock. That was the coolest version in my eyes.
Yeah, as I've you know over the years, and you get to finally see the character in cartoon form and get the figure and the classics version and just see the mini comics and stuff like that. It's he's definitely been interpreted so many different ways, and he's definitely got a big fan following, of course. And I guess where to start out is, you know, obviously the figure came first, and I'm just going to just let my brain just kind of flow freely here. I don't get too tongue-tied here. But to start out with is that Module Lock essentially is portrayed as someone who formerly worked for Skeletor. The mini comics hint at that, and then the Filmation series connects He-Man and She-Ra together, that Module Lock did in fact want to join up with Skeletor, eventually joins up with the Evil Warriors, and then betrays Skeletor and, you know, gives him the finger and goes to Etheria and decides to work for Hordak because he has a better health plan and just better benefits. And just he's given a little bit more respect, so to speak, you know.
Right.
But and I like that, though. It was so cool because I really didn't realize that till I got the mini comic, I think, in high school, I think, somewhere. I can't remember where I got it. But reading this one little panel and one of the word bubbles that Skeletor calls Module Lock, that turncoat. I'm like, oh, so this character used to work for Skeletor. And then I remember getting the VHS of Gateway to Trouble, because remember, I didn't get to see any of this stuff hardly on TV. It was all through VHS. And that was the first time I got to see Module Lock in the cartoon. And that was before I saw Happy Birthday Roboto and Mistaken Identity. And here there's Skeletors everywhere. So it shows
Module Lock
working for Skeletor and, you know, Tongue Lashers working for Skeletor at the same time, wearing a Horde emblem. But you just go with it since he's a snake man. Like, hey, well, really, he's about to be working Skeletor anyway. But it was just cool to see them transition the character to the Horde, just like he's hinted at in the mini comic. And
that was cool. It was like a consistent thing to where they did have it to where in both those canons, he was at one time for Skeletor and then wanted to go work with Hordak. And that's what I thought was cool about the cartoon. Now, like you said, they didn't have constant continuity, but that was a cool thing I felt like they did with Modulok from Masters of the Universe to Princess of Power was, you know, they had him go from one cartoon to the other, but it seemed like they kept a somewhat continuity of the character, if you will, of how he left from Skeletor to want to then go, you know, to Hordak, but, you know, you knew he was a Galen Nightcroft or whatever in the cartoon, and then...
I never liked the idea of him being a human being who built this, you know, contraption in his jail cell and then turns him into Modulok and then we're off and running.
My question. What did you have first? I mean, what was your first introduction? The cartoon, the toy, or the mini comic for Modulok?
I didn't actually know of the toy until I got the Hordak figure and I saw in the back because I got Leech, Grizzlor, and Mantana. So to me, that was the essential Horde members. And then Modulok was like this other guy that was on the back of all the Horde mini comics of the first wave. So I thought, who is this guy with two heads? I'm like, but because I never saw any kids in daycare had the figure. I never saw the figure in stores or anywhere else. It was strictly on the back of that mini comic. So it was just like this.
So wait, was the mini comic the first thing you had? Was the mini comic seeing him or what?
No, just on the back of the mini comic of the Hordak mini comic.
Okay.
Like, well, I didn't have the you know, the Modulok mini comic. All I had, I mean, it was on the advertisement where it showed like the first Horde figures in the Fright Zone on the back of the mini comics.
Okay, because okay. Because that was such a drastic difference when you look at the cartoon version, when you look at the toy, and then when you look at the mini comic, The Treachery of Modulok. That I always remember every time I looked at him, and I still think of it every time I see him in the mini comic. He reminded me of those creatures called the Ghoulies. I think there was like this horror.
The ones that pop out of the toilet.
Yeah, the ones that pop out of the toilet. Those crazy because he was smaller.
That horror movie.
Yeah, it was that horror movie. Yeah. He was smaller. He looked more, you know, just nasty and gross. And just that mini comic of how he was sent piece by piece to, you know, the palace, you know, to a whole plot of getting into Castle Grayskull to get a forbidden weapon. But that interpretation of Modulok was just, obviously it tried to be like the toy, but he looked pretty gross. And I always wanted a figure that looked like that mini comic. That was like my favorite look of Modulok was that crazy mini comic.
Yeah, I think my first I think I got the figure first, to be honest with you. I think I got like one Christmas, I think I got like the entire Horde, the Fright Zone, everything. That was a good Christmas for me. I got them all. It was pretty cool. I got like the JCPenney two packs and stuff like that. So that was a good Christmas for myself.
Oh, okay. That does sound cool because I can't even remember how I got all the Horde because I know Hordak, that's a whole different story of how I got him. But
yeah,
it's just they came in different increments. But the cartoon, almost like what Tyler said, I don't like the Galen Nightcroft thing. I don't like the thought of him being a human, then becoming a creature. I just like him being a creature, but I figure, I don't know. You know how like in Filmation, they had to do the obvious, like just color swap in animation, reverse flip and mirror stuff. Maybe is that why they didn't do him too much? Would he have been too difficult to do if they had him be parts like a toy but put into the cartoon? Do you think that would have been too much for the animation back then? I don't know.
I don't know. They did too bad. Not as poorly done as he was, but I was quite satisfied with the character because at least we got the nod of the second head because that's why he wanted Man-at-Arms captured so he could transfer Man-at-Arms' brain into his second head, which is you know the verbatim second head of the Modulok character, which I kind of like the idea that because this is kind of how I have the classics figure displayed, is that the one that worked for Skeletor is the one single-headed, but he's holding the extra heads of like eventually he wants to have a second brain attached to his body. So the one that works for the Horde, I have with two heads. It, like he successfully built another head and brain on his body to have double the intelligence.
Oh, I like that.
That's a cool idea.
And I took that straight from Happy Birthday Roboto, where he wants to build another head for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea that he, once he got to the Horde, he had advanced scientific technology, since the Horde is definitely heavily based in science and machinery, along with, you know, sorcery, which I felt like would give Modulok the edge to kind of get him what he wants personally, as well as advanced Horde science. I was happy just with look, there's a cameo of the second head, because I really liked the single headed Modulok. I thought Lou Scheimer, who changed the voice, I think, from Happy Birthday Roboto to Mistaken Identity, I'm like, I really liked the voice. Like, there was a bit of a consistency, because I know a lot of the second season characters, if Lou Scheimer was doing them, he tended to never keep the same voice a lot. Like, Manny Face's voice changed in season two. Right. Mechanic's voice changed. Fisto stayed the same, fortunately, but Modulok had a very kind of deep, kind of robotic-like voice in his first appearance, and then from Mistaken Identity onto the She-Ra series, he had a pretty consistent voice, and I love how he's portrayed in Mistaken Identity. It's not a very good episode. I just watch it for how great Modulok is portrayed in it. It's a very strong villain who's definitely more about outsmarting He-Man, and it was cool, you know, to write him as the one character who likes the idea that, like, He-Man has a secret identity. I've never thought of that before. Even though he's just listening to this putz, you know, try to brag to his girlfriend that he's He-Man, but it's just because as the audience were like, holy crap, he's the first person to actually catch on to the idea that there's a secret identity possibility here.
That's pretty cool.
And yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, he's the one person that, you know, to leave Skeletor, to not care, to, you know, I liked his, like I said, he had a really good character of being an individual, if you will. And like you said, and being intelligent. I don't know if that's an angle they were trying to do with the whole science, you know, science person.
Well, but, he's really the only evil warrior that's actually, I mean, yeah, we get to see him working on his own before joining Skeletor, and he's got his own lab.
Right.
The two appearances we see before we see him and hear their Skeletors everywhere, which is just a cameo appearance, but he's working in a laboratory, you know, it just shows you that, yeah, he's not about, even though he's got, like, you know, and this was something that I'm surprised that some fans, I don't know if maybe they have, I'm surprised Joe hasn't tried to do this, where when he bursts into the palace and kidnaps Roboto, like he can turn his arms into different kinds of weapons.
Oh, that's like what Roboto. I liked. You're right. That's the other thing. When I know that when it started going into, you know, Princess of Power, it started going even more with that, with his arm transforming into a lot of different weapons, because I guess since they weren't doing the body part angle, they wanted to give him somewhat of a thing. So that was kind of, I guess, unique to his cartoon appearance, was that, you know, his arm could turn into different weapons and stuff.
Which works out for the Horde, because that's what Hordak does. And
It just
seems logical that this guy would kind of go and you know, eventually join up with them too. But it was a nice nod. His character design looked really good. I mean, especially because that one head of Modulok has always been my favorite anyway. Kind of like Too Bad. My favorite of the two heads was the blue head, eventually Tuvar. So the one we got in Filmation, that was my favorite of the two heads. You know, he's got the fangs and the very stern look on his face. I mean, he just looks like such an aggressive character, and I just he's got three legs, you know, which I'm sure was
was cool. I liked the three-legged guy.
Yeah, and his color scheme was really good. They added like the green and the black and the purple and the red all on there. It really popped. It gave him a very distinctive look, even though the character was a little bit different.
I wish it would have got the top toys. The I don't know if it glow in the dark or not, but the green legs. Though that would have been a cool addition.
Oh, that variant.
Too.
Yeah. That could have been cool too. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, nice. Yeah, because he's a guy like with all his different versions. I mean, it's still been cool every way to see him, from the cartoon with his three legs and how he looks there, from the toy, which, I mean, we all remember having that toy and just making so many different types of, like I said, that's, I think, my only picture I have is a combination. I mean, like I said, as you guys know, you never see any pictures of me. And from my childhood, I don't even have many, but I have one picture. And that's when I took a whole bunch of pieces of Modulok and Multibot and did my kind of version of Mega Beast. But I'm holding that thing. It's just, that was a really fun toy. So from that into that mini comic, and I still, for me, I always wanted the mini comic figures. He looked that different because he was so, like, I mean, he was so small. Like I said, I still can't say it. If you guys haven't seen the Ghoulies, you on the show, and for people out there who are listening, you know, just Google the word Ghoulies.
Yeah, you get a better idea what you're talking about.
I like the small factor, how there are these, like, nasty little creatures that just would form together. I mean,
they were smaller than how the toy appeared. And, you know, what's funny, Tyler, is you sit there and you remember the commercial where you said, Modulok. Well, remember, that's how the treachery of Modulok starts. The mini comic. He sits there and says Modulok, but if you ever noticed, the one part with the one head says Ma, the other said Jew, and the last part says Lock, and all it is just his ass and legs. There ain't even a head. So I was like, oh, his ass is talking.
He's talking out of his
No, but seriously, he is. He was talking out of his ass. He literally was. I didn't know if you noticed that, but I mean, you can say other parts of his body spoke.
It was cool to see him approach Hordak initially. He was like, look, I used to work for Skeletor. I want to work for you. You know, it's cool building that. Just one of those few times, like Joe had mentioned, that there was only a little bit of continuity throughout the whole series, and that was one of the few things that at least Filmation and Mattel definitely were on the same page about. Instead of making Rio Blast a Horde member, he turned out to be a heroic warrior, and Tongue Lasher was not a snake man. He actually became a member of the Horde, and back all over the place here. But it was just cool to see Modulok treated with so much respect, and that they really seemed to like the character, because he was used a lot in She-Ra. I mean, not as much as like Mantana and Grizzlor and Leech, but you know, he had didn't have as many prominent appearances. Like, he was in Black Snow, and I know an episode that Joe has talked about fairly recently, which is an Enemy with My Face.
Yeah.
But you know, he. I think Gateway to Trouble, Mistaken Identity, Happy Birthday Roboto, Black Snow, and, you know, Enemy with My Face. And I think he's got a couple other, small appearances. But
like even in the Christmas special, I think he might have been in that too.
Yeah, he was in that briefly, I think. He wasn't in it a whole lot. And Multibot was featured, you know, a decent amount in that too. But I'm trying to figure out where I'm going with
where
this.
Where the hell was I?
I know. Where the hell was I here? But right. I love the character so much, and he's definitely somebody I think that all fans, She-Ra and He-Man.
Yeah, no, he's a very cool character with like a really cool backstory. And again, like you said, the continuity it's always a plus where it's just not a one shot deal, or you know, it's once and done. It was cool that it continued. It's very cool how they continued that story. I like that a lot.
Yeah, if I had to call foul on anything, it's them deciding that we're going to give him a human, you know, secret identity, so to speak, or he used to be a human being, and then they completely, like, he never mentions the idea of, like, well, back in my day when I was Gilly Nightcroft, you know, I'm glad they just kind of dismissed that idea, because I think Michael J. Straczynski wrote Mistaken Identity, and I guess I'm going to have to hold him accountable for coming up with such a stupid idea.
Well, didn't they even, I think, expand upon that in some of the UK comics where he was like a criminal or something from the Prison Star or something? I know that even in the UK comics, they had a different kind of slight variation of origin for Modulok. That's always a cool thing. That's why, again, we need a big volume from Dark Horse of all the UK comics, the Ladybird stuff, because there's still more things to see about Modulok. We just wanted to touch on, I guess, the three kind of main things that most people, you know, knew growing up were those ones.
Definitely.
Yeah, I really hope that Dark Horse goes forward and does a lot more stuff. I mean, I believe they will with all the success they're having with all the books they're doing. But I mean, you know, they could be doing, they could do all the UK stuff. They could do all the annuals. They could do all the magazine. There's so many possibilities that they could do, and people will eat it up because there's so much knowledge involved with that stuff that people would love to read that they never had the chance to read. So I think, we always advocate for it on the show here. So hopefully someone from Dark Horse listens and, you know, they make it happen, which would be great. It would be an amazing thing. I was really hoping that they showed up at PowerCon. I would have had a nice lengthy conversation with them about that.
Oh, I'm sure they know. Like I said, I mean, these books are selling great. They'll continue to make them. People keep buying them. So they know that it's a no-brainer. Almost anything they release, fans will want. So,
Be good.
And give us a book with nothing but artwork and concept artwork by William Stout and anybody else who worked on the live-action 87 movie. That's what I want.
They actually had a lot of that at PowerCon. They had a lot of William Stout stuff.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. I don't know if it was repro or if it was original, but they did have some. They had quite a lot of drawings from him, and some of it was really, really cool. Some of it I didn't even see before. It's pretty cool to actually finally see it.
I swear, I would, I could spend a good 8 hours straight with not even taking a break. I would make sure my bladder would be under the best control it's ever been in my life. And for 8 straight hours and just pick this man's brain about working on that movie from beginning to middle to end. I don't know. Anytime you get to talk about the 87 movie, man, I'm ready to just take off and charge.
Well, I'm sure we'll get a good taste of it for the Power of Grayskull documentary that's being done now. That they're
I saw hints of that. That better be at least no more than 2 hours straight.
Well, is there any word on that of when it's coming out or and how it's doing and stuff? Or
they've already started. They've been interviewing a lot of people already. I mean, it's going to be a heck of a trek because they want to interview as many people that had to do with the toys, the original right. Concepts of the drawings, the cartoons, movie, everything. So that's probably going to be one whopper of a documentary that I don't know if they'll be broken into a couple discs, have a lot of downloaded content, but they're involving fans too, which that's really nice to do. So
that's good. You didn't see him at PowerCon, Brian.
Supposedly John Carroll wanted to interview me, but I couldn't find him. John Atkin told me to go look for him. He was looking for me, and I just couldn't find him. I don't know. Never crossed paths. Wait, hold on.
Just because I don't know what's going on. What's John Carroll doing? I didn't know.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what – but I know he does a lot of interviews. He has his own show.
Oh, I thought you meant he was doing something. I was like, I didn't know. I might have missed something because remember I was having my gaps off of Facebook for a while, so I might have missed
something. Right. Yeah. I spoke to John Atkin, and he told me to go look for John Carroll, and I just never found him myself. So I guess you wanted to know more about the show that we're doing. So.
All right. Well, that must be cool to meet John Atkin, too. You know, that's the guy who created He-Man World, correct?
Well, yeah, he wasn't there. I was just talking, I speak to him,
Oh, I thought you seen him at PowerCon. Okay.
No. He didn't go there. He didn't show up.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Let me ask one more thing about Modulok. Then I didn't know if maybe we'd wrap it up, and then next week we'll do a double episode about a couple cartoons or something. We can
definitely.
Yeah, we could do that. But one quick question about Modulok. If he would have been in the MYP cartoon, because that sucks that we never got him in the MYP cartoon, a figure or a staction. But how would you envision him now? Would you again envision him as a member of the Horde, a guy that would have been on his own again, or what do you see out of Modulok? Well, Tyler, go ahead first, and then Brian. What would you think?
As much as I would have liked to have seen him as a loner for a while, I could just picture them making him a member of the Horde immediately. Like he's probably not someone who goes out into the field. He probably works in the Fright Zone, coming up with different weapons and technology and ways to advance, Hordak's mechanical parts and things like that, or helping to create, the other horsemen like Mosquitor and Dragstor and Multibot and so on and so forth. Probably not being so much as but then again, he could also do, I could also picture him as kind of going out as being like the solo Horde villain of a particular episode. Like he's, decided to pick a town and starts kind of planting a lot of Horde technology throughout and kind of building like this laboratory out of Horde science or something like that. And like the He-Man or the Heroic Warriors, they got to go in and like stop from taking over Small Village or something like that. So I just made that up. It's completely silly getting erotic here. But I mean, the point being is that yes, I mean, he is such a dignified character. I could see him, working in the Horde laboratories and also going off on his own and doing something for Hordak, but he is the sole villain of that episode. Like he's that much of a badass that he could take on, four of the Heroic Warriors, Clamchamp, Lizard Man, Cyclone, Moss Man, and He-Man, make that five. And he would be the solo villain because he's a scientist. He'd come up with all kinds of different Horde troopers and maybe in that episode he would create Dragstor. So they got to try and take out Dragstor before they can get to actual Modulok or something like that.
Well, that's my thing, I guess. Do you see him as how he looked in Filmation, or do you finally see him now as how he could or should have been as a toy, is all them body parts all together, constantly transforming into weird shapes and looking gross?
Yeah, I could see them because they obviously had more money to do a lot more detailed stuff with the characters. I could see them like he would use the other head as well as bring on extra arms and legs to really make him a much more larger than life foe for the Heroic Warriors.
Okay. All right. What about you, Brian? Your thoughts on a new Modulok?
I'd see him working with the Horde. Just because I always associated with him as a Horde member. But yeah, I agree with Tyler that he could be a standalone character and take on the Heroic Warriors. I think he'd be a threat because he is like super smart and he can create, you know, create weapons and robots and whatnot. He's a scientist, so. But I do see him under the banner of the Horde and, you know, working with Hordak and taking it from there. But I see him as a Horde member. I definitely see him as a Horde member.
Okay. Well, I'd see him as, I guess, maybe eventually becoming a member of the Horde, but I wouldn't want any of the science stuff. I would want that completely gone. I would want something built upon that mini comic and toy of just this grotesque warrior that is one crazy thing to fight when a battle comes. Like, you know, He-Man or whoever it may be, when you first see one with, I don't know, 10 legs, 8 arms, these 2 heads, double bodies. Like, what is this monstrosity? And as He-Man swings, he splits into pieces, and then part of an arm and a leg, and one thing's choking him, going choking Fisto, punching somebody else. I think that would just be just cool to see the toy and that mini comic come more to life, but a little bigger, a little more intimidating, imposing, and grotesque.
Kind of like thought Chucky in the first Child's Play, where his body's blown apart, but his arm comes out and starts
choking up to the vents. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but really, I think just a more, you know, menacing, frightening Modulok would have fit in.
Well, he is the menacing Modulok, yeah. So,
he would have. I mean, especially when you think of MYP, because that wasn't playing no jokes, that cartoon series. That he had characters looking freaky, and I think that he would have just fit in so well if he could have looked like that. So that's my thought of this, what Modulok could have been in MYP.
Yeah, it would have been cool.
He would have stole the show regardless.
I think he would.
I think really all the Horde members, because all of them had such a major upgrade. Like Leech became a real, like, you know, had a lot of girth. Mantana looked very gangly, and Grizzler just looked like the biggest and baddest SOB on the planet.
Oh yeah. They did him really good in MYP. They did him justice. They made him very, very, like, he took no prisoners.
So it just means Modulok would have probably. You know what? I don't know, and I'm sure people have made this suggestion a lot of times, but I mean, to me, I'm like with, and they both came out in the same year, one for each faction. When you got Too Bad working for Skeletor, you got Modulok working for the Horde. We got to see the two heads, the two headed, you know, evil warriors like clash, and then to see Too Bad's two heads taking on Modulok's two heads, and just you know, since Too Bad was supposed to be an evil strategist. You know, to begin with, and Modulok is portrayed as being a very smart character. I just think, do I hear a possible, you know, Survivor Series King of the Ring kind of matchup with these two-headed beings here? Who knows?
That could be in a future episode, but...
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that was a good one. So, Brian, thanks for all the background and info.
That
PowerCon sounded pretty cool. So, well, if you want, close it up, wrap us up, and then we can next week do a double cartoon talk about maybe something of a pop episode and even new adventures.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, so Tyler, why don't you do your send off and we'll wrap it up.
I'll to keep it connected to this week's episode, I'm going to go with Mistaken Identity, just because of how well Modulok is portrayed. How good his voice is. I mean, I think it's the first episode where his voice is really like, I'm really big on voice characterizations in cartoons, especially in He-Man. I like consistency, and that's what killed a lot of characters for me, like Too Bad and Cyclone and Moss Man.
Yeah, it was strong. He had a really strong voice.
That's all thanks to Lou Scheimer. He hit it out of the park on that particular episode. Like I said before, the episode itself is, you know, like character of Theron, and I can't remember his girlfriend's name because she's not important enough to remember. She's just irritating and has a very bad voice. I think Erica Scheimer did her voice, I think.
Maybe she was bad. She did a lot of her voice, it irritated me.
Yeah, and Glimmer is fine in She-Ra, but this particular voice, I don't even care to remember the girl's name. But
especially when she sounded more like robotic, and it was just like, oh,
yeah,
God,
and Theron's voice sounds very robotic too for a human being. But like, to make long story short, it's a good episode if you can just forget a lot of the really poorly portrayed, you know, side characters. They're worthless. They mean nothing. Just watch it to see, you know, Modulok is determined to join up with Skeletor and gets hold of the idea of He-Man having a secret identity and then runs with it. So it's definitely something that Skeletor never got to – it's an idea that Skeletor never got around to playing with, and same thing with Hordak. So it's cool to see him get to run, take this idea and run with it. So it's a good episode. I highly recommend it, and because if you haven't checked it out, yeah, I think you'll really enjoy Modulok's portrayal in it. So that is my pick for the week.
Sounds like a good pick.
Alrighty.
You're damn right it is.
As for me, though, just like I said, I always want to tell you to go to the all-encompassing Masters of the Universe Princess of Power New Adventures page on Facebook. Go to Masters of Mythos. Go to Vintage Obscure page on Facebook. Go to Motu Nation on Facebook and Descendants of Grayskull. Those are all great groups, all great people. And Walt Hancock, it was cool finally seeing you, you know, on Facebook with, you know, like, you know, had the picture of you and Alan Oppenheimer, and you were wearing that Battle Cat shirt that I made. It's cool to see somebody, you know, wearing a shirt that I created. So that was kind of cool. So
I hope he didn't screw you over, Walt. I just want you to know that.
What did you say?
I said, I hope Walt didn't get screwed over by Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I hope not either.
Because I smiled in my picture too. Didn't mean I was enjoying myself. So
we're at this last place. Bad memories up. We better get Tyler off that. Go ahead, Brian. You do your thing.
All right. I just want to say thanks to all the fans that came out to me and praised the show and praised all of us. And again, like I told you in person, if it wasn't for you, it just it wouldn't be the same. Go to the All Encompassing page. Go to 80 Masters Facebook page. Go to HemanWorld.com. Go to PopCultureNetwork.com. And go to FansOfPower.com for this and older episodes. And until next time, rock on, man, and we'll see you next week.
Have a powerful day.
Be sure that you do. If I'd been drinking out of the toilet, I might have been killed.
You did it again. Tyler just stumped me again.
Tom Ace will know what I'm talking about.
You're a weird guy, Ace. Weird guy.